Hello and welcome to season 2, episode 16 of the D-Hoop University podcast. This is your host, Daryl Harris, also known as the Hoopster. I hope this audio experience finds you well. I hope that your back to school is coming along. I hope that your end of summer went well. And I definitely hope that your fantasy drafts are going well. That's definitely going to be the vibe of this podcast. Me and Shiv and I, the casual diehards, we knocked out a mock draft. So that way, you all who haven't done your homework, who haven't been preparing for fantasy, can listen along with us, go through a full draft, and at least you can say you've done a little bit of homework. I actually dare some of you to do a mock draft while listening to us mock draft, because I bet you'll come across some of the same questions, same stumbling points of it can either go really right or it can go downhill. So I've got one draft in the books, landed some guys I want, some other guys bit who I did want, and you have to adapt. I'm happy with the results, but we'll get into that a little bit later. Today, I had one thing that I really wanted to talk about. And you guys should know by now, I don't call ISO too much on the pod. I like to have conversation and bounce ideas off people and go back and forth. However, today I'm flying solo for just the intro. And there's one point I just want to make. Y'all know I'm a wrestling fan, and even in wrestling, that there's a predictable outcome that smart fans can pick up on. I would classify myself as a smart fan. And even being a smart fan, I'll go that route, visualize it, and say, well, what if we did this instead? And sort of wrap myself around this alternative idea when the clear, you know, idea that you figured would happen is what happened in the first place, and then you disappoint yourself because the idea that you wrapped yourself around didn't come to fruition, even though you were right in the first place. It's a whole circular of madness. But that's why we love wrestling. So a similar thing is happening right now in the WNBA. And I had to pause because it feels like this could legitimately be a reality. And nobody's saying it. I don't know if people are afraid to say it or if they're not paying attention, because if you're paying attention, there is something that is very possible this year. And even though it is very possible, it is still unlikely unless it actually happens. And that is the Indiana Fever making the WNBA finals. I repeat, I believe the Indiana Fever could make the WNBA finals. All right? I'm looking right into the camera. This isn't cap. I'm not trying to reach for clicks, anything like that. I've been paying attention to the arc of this team, and they are poised to be a very tough out when the postseason comes around. We're not that far. So let's just start with the obvious. Caitlin Clark. She's incredible. She is an incredible player. And the trajectory, of course, is through the roof in terms of where she can vault herself into the all-time rankings of the WNBA. I talked to my pops a little while ago, and he had a great analogy that her and Angel Reese, shout out to Angel Reese. I love Angel Reese as well. Rooting for her. I think the Chicago Sky are on the opposite trajectory right now, and that they will miss out on the postseason, especially with a team like Atlanta really biting at their tail in the standings and with a better outlook for the rest of the season. Chicago just traded away Marina Mabry. They don't really have a starting point guard. Angel Reese is still struggling with some efficiency. She's a great player. She's been playing like the best player on their team all season long. However, not quite capable of taking over games just yet. It's coming. Her time will come. But my dad said that the Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark situation, from somebody who isn't even watching the games on a day-to-day basis, he said it reminded him a lot of Magic Johnson and Larry Bird and what their insertion meant for the NBA in the 80s. So, you know, similarly, inject two elite talents and success is inevitable in relation to where they came into the WNBA and where Magic and Larry came into the WNBA. And what makes this analogy stick a little more, so we can go deeper because there's racial context, because that's the conversations that do play out, and their stylistic contrast. Bird was a wing. Angel Reese is a big. Magic was a point guard. Caitlin Clark is a point guard. So you're not comparing apples to apples in terms of who's the better player because they're different positions. And so I'm not saying one is the other, but just that those two players, Angel and Caitlin, have injected life into the WNBA in a similar fashion that Michael and Larry did.
And as they say, history repeats itself. In that rookie season, 1980-81, Magic Johnson led the Lakers to an NBA championship. We know how that went. Y'all saw Winning Time. All right, he switched over the center, got the finals MVP as well. Could that happen again with the Fever and Caitlin Clark? I don't know. Anywho, enough about them. Back into this Indiana Fever team. They had a very, very, very rough start to the year, and they flipped the script to start the season.
2-11 in their first 13 games. In their last 15 games, they've nearly flipped that. They're 11-4. So they won 11 of their last 15 after only winning two of their first 13. Now, that's a pretty remarkable turnaround. And they have themselves in firm position of the seventh spot in the standings in the WNBA, the top eight, make the postseason. But they're not just hanging around that bottom spot. Over the last month of the season, they've got one of the best records in the WNBA. Not only do they have one of the best records in the WNBA, they have wins, multiple, over the Phoenix Mercury. They're a playoff team. They have a win over the New York Liberty. They have the best record, head and shoulders, above the rest of the league. They have wins over the Minnesota Lynx and Seattle Storm. Two more teams that are locked into the playoffs. That's a real confidence builder for anybody in the postseason when you know that, hey, we beat that team. And we know we can beat that team. Now we know we can beat that team, but we came up short a couple times. We still got to get over the hump. It's no, we beat that team doing what we do. We know that Indiana has the best home court atmosphere in the league right now. It's remarkable the turnout that the games get. And that's largely in part to Caitlin Clark. Caitlin Clark on the season right now is pacing the WNBA in assists, leading the league. She's also a top 15 scorer in the league. And her team is one of the top scoring teams in the league because of a pace that she's imposed on this team. So the fact that they are a high scoring offense, I came from a high school program that played the same way. Here we go. Oh, he's talking about his high school days. Nah, just saying that when you are a team that tries to dictate the pace and you try to push the pace, you can find general success with that, whether shots are falling or not. And since you're used to, you know, widening the range of outcomes because you're playing with more possessions, you're getting more shots up, there's more chances to come back from a deficit, a wide range of outcomes are possible for each game. And now that they're building this confidence and stacking wins against playoff teams, they're not going to feel that they're incapable when the postseason comes around. In just the last 15 games in which the Indiana Fever are 11-4, Caitlin Clark is averaging 19 points, 10 assists, 6.5 boards, along with a steal and a block, playing almost the entire game as well. It's a testament to her, man. came right off the NCAA tournament, Final Four run, draft a couple weeks later, WNBA season begins about 6 weeks later. That Olympic break was big. There was a lot of scrutiny behind, you know, who made the roster. Now that that's said and done with, she got a significant time to rest and work on her game. I saw her put some floaters up because she's been pretty much three or key in terms of where her shots are coming from. And the in-between game is what teams are giving her because she can get herself all the way to the rack at a six-foot point guard that's not on the smaller side of point guards in the WNBA. It's actually on the bigger side. So she's comfortable taking a little bit of contact, driving to the rack. And we know that she likes to stretch it out with range. She hasn't shot the lights out, but you know that she's dangerous. She's got games with 6-7 threes this season. So in just these two games since the All-Star, I've seen her hit a couple floaters that she legitimately didn't make or even attempt before the Olympic break. And I paid very close attention because I drafted her in fantasy. I saw that the ceiling was way up there because the ball was going to be in her hands. She's a capable scorer. We knew this. She broke the college record. And beyond that, we're seeing now she's already broken the rookie assist record with more than 10 games left on the schedule. So she's empowered this team significantly. Aaliyah Boston has found her rhythm playing alongside Caitlin Clark significantly. It takes a minute to get used to playing with a high-level point guard because you just have to be ready. You have to be more ready than ever, and you don't have to work as hard as you do with the inferior point guard. You get the ball in better position. You get the ball in scoring opportunities where you just react. Passes that her teammates were dropping earlier in the season, they've caught on to, no, she's looking for this. I need to go. I need to run. I need to catch. I need to be ready to shoot. Lexi Hull just hit 6 or 7 threes in their last game against the Storm and absolutely sealed the game for the Fever. And, you know, that was her career-defining performance thus far. And I want to say, I'm not taking any credit away from her, but that's a product of the confidence that this team has been granted by having Caitlin Clark. She plays that way. And it's really cool because for me, LeBron was that guy coming up where I just latched on to him. Liked the guy as a kid, liked that he was a bigger player that could ball handle, could shoot. Of course, he was dunking on everything. And I said, that's my guy at a young age. And I had to deal with the Kobe LeBron divide the rest of my life, essentially. However, a similar thing's happening here where I saw the player and just thought that, yo, there's something really special here with this player. I'm a fan. I'm simply a fan outright. I can say that on my sleeve. And I see a trajectory for this player that, oh my goodness, it can blow the roof off the joint. So just going back to this team, they've got Caitlin controlling the show. She is absolutely running the show. She dropped 19 assists in one game before the Olympic break. 19 assists. Not happening anywhere. Jokic isn't getting 19 assists. It's insane, honestly. You've got her leading the team. From a decision-making aspect, there's a lot of talk about her turnovers. Look, you live with that with pace. You try to protect the ball and be secure and protect possessions, but you know that along the way, you get some, you lose some. You try to get it back on the defensive end. So you've got her controlling the show. Kelsey Mitchell is the former All-Star. She's also a top 20 scorer in the WNBA this season, and she's a gunner. She's letting it go from range. She can get to the cup. She's her backcourt running mate. And she, too, had to figure out how to play with a different person as the point guard. And that has happened over the course of this season. So you just have those three pieces as their big three, essentially. Nelissa Smith next to Aaliyah Boston. Shout out to Baylor University. She's a Baylor alum. Nelissa Smith provides a secondary big to where, okay, we can go big with you, okay? We can go big. We can battle on the boards. We're still running 100%. But if we face a team with size, like a Seattle, like a New York, this is our lineup to combat that. They have Katie Lou Samuelson, who can stretch it out from three and still play the power forward position. UConn product. She's ready if they need her to be for more minutes. Alongside, like I said, the rotating cast of role players, whether that's Lexi Hull, one game, whether that is Dantas, who just started coming off the bench for this team. They look dangerous, and they know how to score. And when you play those games, you also know how to defend and how to defend enough to win, essentially, because it's not like we're proving that we're the best defense in the league, because we will sacrifice. We'll clearly give – playing with pace, you'll almost give teams a layup versus the foul in some positions just to keep the game how you like it, and you play the averages. So this team is just becoming really confident in who they are. You can go back to the WNBA season preview episode with Terrell back in May. I said, Christy Tsai, something about her, who's the head coach for the Fever, said I like something about her. She's taken this assignment and this task of being the head coach of Caitlin Clark personally, and she's not afraid to say something that doesn't paint her in the brightest image to the media. Like, she's holding her accountable. She is taking the rap when it needs to be, but I feel like she's also, her energy, her spirit is reflected on the court as well. It's a team that I think is really, really buying in. And that is huge once you get to any postseason, is who's bought in and how bought in are you? If we're all collectively bought in, we have a chance to reach our ceiling. And our ceiling is go out and win the next game ahead of us. If they do that, which they've shown that they can beat almost every team in the league, man, you never know, okay? You're hearing it here first. I just have to say that because I see it as a legitimate possibility. If you look at the standings, they're at the bottom. If they get through that first matchup, which is kind of like a play-in game, single elimination game, they'll face whoever's at the top of the standings, which right now is not the Las Vegas Aces. Right now, like I said earlier, it's the New York Liberty. They've already beaten the Liberty, okay? So we're talking a five-game series where protect home court, you got to steal one on the road, and then, hey, it's anybody's game. It really, really is. And I believe that that first-round matchup is actually a three-game series with home court in game three going to whoever wins in game two or something like that. It's tricky how they do it in the WNBA, and I'm going to get a refresher as well. We all will when this postseason comes around, but – dude, that team can beat any team in the WNBA in single elimination style. There's no reason why they couldn't find the keys to be successful in a series against anybody as well, because they have a piece that no other team has, nor have they essentially figured out. They're trying to rough her up, tough her up, Caitlin Clark, that is, and she's adjusted. Same way that Victor Wembanyama was, you know, fish out of water for the first couple months. You look up in February, March, oh my God. Yeah, 28, 15, 6, 6, and 5 blocks. Like, what? That's happening right now in the WNBA on a team that has 4 top 2 picks, I believe. So it's very different than what Wembanyama's playing with in San Antonio relative to the competition. This team is ready to compete. I said earlier in the season that I believe they'd make the playoffs. I think that's a given now. So I'm upping the ante, saying that they can make the finals, all right, depending on matchups. Depending on the way seeds work, the Aces and Liberty might see each other before the finals because they're not 1-2 right now. That second spot belongs to the Connecticut, who also has been incredible, defensively especially. And Minnesota's also ahead of Las Vegas right now. Seattle and Phoenix are on Vegas's heels as well. So we don't know where they're going to end up. If you're not in the top two, that's the only way that you are clearly avoiding each other until the end. So if, say, the Liberty and the Aces face each other and the Fever have to go against the Sun or the Storm, which they beat multiple times, or the Mercury, which they beat multiple times, guys, it's not that far-fetched, okay? That's all I wanted to say on here. And while we're and since I mentioned the Aces, I just have to say, Asia Wilson, ladies and gentlemen, Asia Wilson, her evolution is unreal. She's a 99 overall in 2K coming up. And I had to get in the comment section once they revealed the ratings for her. And people are like, really? She's better in WNBA terms than Luka Doncic, Joel Embiid, Giannis, LeBron, KD, Steph, all these guys. She's better than them in comparison? Yes, she is.
On the season, Asia Wilson is averaging 27 points, most in the NBA by a wide margin, okay? 12-plus rebounds. She's going to tie or come very close to Angel Reese. They both might eclipse the in-season record for most rebounds in the season. Two assists, that's fine. Two steals and 2.8 blocks. That's ridiculous. And here's the craziest part. She's damn near at a 50-40-90. She's 52% from the field. 41% on threes, only 1.5 attempts, but she's added that to her game. To continue evolving like that is so scary. 87% from the free throw line. One of the highest league leaders in terms of free throw attempts per game as well. Folks, that's as if Giannis also was a 50-40-90 guy. That's as if Nikola Jokic was the best defender in the league. She's a two-time defensive player of the year winner. She's still got a chip on her shoulder from not winning MVP last year. She's got this alpha energy duel with Breonna Stewart from the New York Liberty. They both were on this Olympic team, sharing a locker room, sharing a bus, practicing together, iron, sharpening iron. Asia Wilson is an incredible basketball player. I made the argument at one point. I forgot who this was with. It might have been a tweet. Who knows what. That right now, she is the best women's basketball player ever. Okay? Right now, she is. It might sound like hyperbole. There's a ton of data that backs it up. That's just a fact. And though the Aces are not just smoking teams in the regular season, they are still the title favorites. They're the title favorites in the betting odds. They're the defending back-to-back champions looking for a three-peat, which hasn't been done since the Houston Comets won 4 in a row, dating back to the very first season in the WNBA is when that streak started. So the Aces are in unprecedented territory, potentially, and this team almost thrives in adversity. They had a lot of it last season. Some off-the-court stuff, players getting arrested, team being investigated, the whole nine. It's happening again this year. Kelsey Plum's had her off-season storylines. Okay, we know what's going on with Derica Hamby. Becky Hammon's facing the music at post-game comments every single game. You know, they investigated the team because the Las Vegas City Council decided to pay all these girls six figures just to be ambassadors for Las Vegas, okay? Is that illegal? Since when? Other teams aren't doing it? Shame on them, all right? Try harder, okay? I think that the Aces are still poised to make a run for this championship this season. It's just worth mentioning that their route won't be the easiest because they won't have that first seed and home court locked up, potentially. And overall, the level of play in the W is very, very high, okay? Great rosters are put together on several different teams. The Mercury have a team that rivals what the Aces have together. So do the Seattle Storm, as do the Connecticut Sun, and of course the New York Liberty. And Minnesota's also got the Olympic head coach, an MVP candidate, and a bunch of veterans. So sky's still the limit. I'm rooting for a three-peat. I was at the last parade. You bet I'll be at the next one. And that's about that on the W. That was a good check-in on the topics that I wanted to talk about. So with that, let's go ahead and transition into this fantasy football draft. It is that time, like I said, folks. May the odds ever be in your favor, okay? unless you're in my league, that is. If that's the case, I'm coming for you. I hope your first, second, third, fourth, fifth pick all get injured, okay? It's like that in the fantasy world. It's a cutthroat. The fantasy gods, they will always do something that you won't expect, okay? There's always going to be the Puka Nacua undrafted rookie who finishes with the top 10 season. There's going to be the first overall pick that gets injured. There's going to be quarterback stinkers. There's going to be trends that develop, every game going under, where are the points at, things like that that influence a fantasy season. But you got to be locked in. You got to get your hands dirty. You got to be on the floor, ground level with your team. You don't win in fantasy football by being passive. You got to get in there, okay? Spend the time, do your research, watch games. That's probably the biggest factor in fantasy sports that gets overlooked. When you watch the game, you see who's earning opportunity and who isn't. You're not just playing numbers, okay? At least, hey, some of us aren't. Shout out to Shiv for getting on here and doing this mock draft with me. This team that we drafted, it wasn't my favorite, but I've done literally over a dozen mock drafts. And as for my first actual draft, it went pleasantly. I would say I was prepared, had to zag because my strategy got bit by some other players taking the same guys that I wanted. And since I was, you know, familiar with who was getting drafted where, I liked the team that I got still. So you'll see that you're going to hit some crossroads in certain rounds with picks that you want to make and you're just a little torn. Go with your gut. Prepare if you can. And feel free to do so with us as we do this mock draft on the air. We appreciate you all for listening. As always, continue to engage with the show. Like, follow, and subscribe wherever you're listening. Do your homework. Leave us a review. Por favor. Helps us out in the algorithms a ton. Recommend the pod to folks that you know are hoops fans, fantasy sports fans, your mama, your dad, your baby nephew, whoever has got a phone and some ears, wants to hear, let them know about the show, man. Without further ado, let's do a draft. Shiv, you're on the clock.
What a surprise, CMC off the board early. Who would have thought?
Are you ready, bro? You're on the clock.
I'm on the clock. I am on the clock.
Wasting no time. The pressure. TikTok.
Yeah, I'm comfortable taking Saquon there. Took him last year. I'm comfortable taking him again. I'm ready to be hurt again.
What a dog, man. That's definitely who I was going to take, so.
Well, with Jahmyr Gibbs, like, kind of hurt, I would have taken Jahmyr Gibbs comfortably, but I saw something like, is he, like, did he tear his ACL or something like that? Like,
I mean, for context, this is a non-PPR league, so as far as this mock draft goes.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
He's definitely projected a little higher. They just took Jonathan Taylor. I'm on the clock at 11, and I am going to get that boy.
Who'd you rock with? Derrick Henry? Dude.
Cheers to a great pick.
Cheers to a great pick. Shout out to Bud Light, bro. Is it Miller Light? Is it Miller Light? I don't even remember.
I think it's
either way, they're going down smoothly tonight. That's all I gotta say.
It's back to me, and I'm definitely doubling up the RBZs. Kyren Williams gets consideration. But I need that boy.
Pacheco? Yeah. I mean, he's like underrated. Boy. He's definitely very underrated.
So have you done mocks this year where they give you the grades afterward now?
No, I didn't know that. It's my first grade.
They'll send you a grade after the draft. And I'm going to show you guys how to get an A. How to get an A draft. This is an A coming up. Yeah, they call it your fantasy draft report card. However, we know how fantasy works, you know? The squad that you draft is not the squad you finish with, but it lays the foundation.
Oh, man, this dude just jacked my boy. How they've massacred my boy. All right, you know what? I'm I'm going. Shoot, I'm on the clock. I mean, I knew that, but I'll take. I'll go Ken Flock. Okay, he's a dog. He's a dog.
Running backs are a necessity, man. If you ask me, running backs are a necessity this year. I'm scared of the first round receivers, bro. Honestly, like Amon-Ra is pretty safe for sure. For sure. Something just gives me like I'm not like Puka Nacua is probably going off again. However, do I think he's going to be that much better than Cooper Kupp? No.
I am like such a historically bad wide receiver drafter. Like all I do is miss on wide receivers. Like, you know what I mean? I can't pick them.
I think that there's a lot of opportunity at receiver in the mid to late rounds of guys that might become some dogs.
Yeah, I agree. That's the thing, right? Like, you look at the rookies this year, too. Like, I've been seeing all this hype about that Colts kid, like a Donnie Mitchell or whatever. He looks pretty solid. Adonai. Like, he looks solid. Whatever guy they have in Kansas City that's also a rookie is Xavier, apparently, like...
Xavier Worthy out of Texas.
Yeah, like, he's kind of nice, too.
Especially
like,
because Hollywood Brown just went down, so he might have receiver two sold up
yeah,
in the offense like, to start the season. And
exactly.
I feel like Patrick is good for unlocking a new toy once a year. You know what I mean?
Once a year, yeah, for sure. For sure.
And last year, it might have been Pacheco. Like, last year, it was really like, you know what? Like, we have a dog back here that we can lean on. And then he got some passing game usage later in the season.
Yeah.
I think that builds this year. Like, Pacheco.
Is there a way to see who, like your team, like who's my roster spot that
I
need
to go to the board and then just move it around. It,
roster view. There we go.
Yeah, there's a brand new layout for ESPN this year.
Yeah, it is. It is. Okay. Two wide receivers, one flex. Gotcha.
Definitely a little confusing at first.
Yeah, there we go.
But I kind of dig it. I kind of dig it.
I'm a fan.
This is midday. We're knocking out a 12-team non-PPR mock draft. And Shiva's back on the clock, round three. He's got a nice foundation, two running backs.
I like this. I like that. I'll take that.
Okay.
It's the last dance before the Taylor Swift tour begins for him. I'm here for that.
Travis Kelce, I've seen him go mid round three to even some round fours in a bunch of mocks so far. But remember last year, he started the season hurt.
Yeah, he did. He did.
And it was kind of un-Kelce like. I think he had a stretch of like six or seven games in single digits. So,
yeah.
You know,
but he's
Kansas
up, man.
City was in the lab for sure this summer.
That's what I'm saying. I think like them adding some of those pieces maybe opens up the floor a little for the guy.
I tell you what, if Marvin Harrison Jr. doesn't get taken right now, they're making
I was also looking at Marvin Harrison Jr. I was like, he's probably going to be really good, and I wouldn't be surprised if he is. Has someone already taken there's a lot of receivers, man.
He just came off the board. It is what it is.
There's a lot of receivers.
Oh, let's see here. Oh, my other boy is gone, too. Somebody already took A-Chain.
Okay, A-Chain is gone.
I'm definitely leaning receiver. Who do I want to top? Let me get Cooper Kupp just to hold it down for stability. I didn't want to. I do think Ridley's in for a big year. I think that Will Levis does not care what the team record is. And that he's going to get reps. I think he's going to get
for
reps
sure.
this year.
For sure.
Calvin Ridley had boom or bust games for Jacksonville last year. Let's see. Is he coming back to me? I might have to do it.
Do you remember last year when Tony Pollard was like a top like 6-7 pick? People were like, baby, this is Pollard's year.
Dude, I felt victim.
You fell victim. Oh yeah, you did fail. You did fall victim to TP.
Do I start the quarterback movement? Do I start the quarterback movement? Round four, no QBs have come off the board yet. I'm not going to pick again for a minute. Or do I go Ridley or Higgins?
I definitely need to get a receiver here, and
taking Ridley.
I can't be messing Ridley. Around. Like there's some.
I considered Higgins. I considered Neighbors, but neighbor's quarterback is Daniel Jones. Like, how good is he really going to be this year? I'm a little worried.
That's what
like,
I'm
he's
saying.
Electric for sure, but like the defense is going to be paying attention to him.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that.
No quarterbacks taken still. Shiv's back on the clock. Round four.
I want to go with a. I'm willing to get hurt, but I traded for my guy last year. It didn't work out because he ended up getting hurt. But I'm taking T. Higgins. I'm a fan. I'm a fan of He Higgins.
He a fan. He a fan. He a fan. Nah, man. I think that wide receiver one tier is in the range for him. I think Burrow is not effing around this season.
Right. Like they got like this is kind of they're kind of I feel like Joe Burrow and the Bengals are kind of like where the Celtics were at. Like where it's like this is kind of your last run with this squad. Like something has to change if like it doesn't work out. And yeah, I feel like they're really... all pretty motivated to get it done. And they can because what's in the AFC?
It's like they don't really have anything to prove to anybody else. Like they want to prove it to themselves this year.
Yeah, I agree.
And the league is pretty open, man. I was just chopping it up with my barber, and we're like, "Yo, it's KC just back to backing this year, three-peating this year." And I mean, like, you got to start there because are you? Who can you really say? You know, Philly's pretty loaded, so you can throw them in the conversation. But that's in the NFC. Who can you say is like a shoe-in to be in the Final Four outside of like maybe Frisco, Philadelphia, and in the AFC? I mean, it's open for some contenders. Burrow should be at the top of that list.
I agree. I think he's good. I don't know. Well, he got hurt last year. That's what happened. That's right. All my football knowledge is slowly coming back now that I'm running this mock draft. I'm like, what happened to them last year? Burrow got hurt.
Necessary.
Higgins got hurt.
Got to wake up the
they had like Samaje Perine in the backfield at one point. I think like
I forgot who the backup's name was, but he was trying to get busy for a little bit.
Oh, you're tripping! This dude did not just take Jalen Hurts right before I was about to take him. That's cold. That's cold blooded. I'll take CJ Stroud, my young gunner, bro. Absolutely.
CJ, there's conversation that he might be in the MVP ballot this year.
He could be. That team is nice, bro. That team is definitely nice enough for that to happen.
You know, I had CJ last year in a couple teams. What sucked is he got that concussion right around the
That's
playoffs.
Right. Oh, I didn't even wrote. I low-key didn't even want CJ like that. I'm tripping. I wanted Jordan Love.
He's been on my list as well. And
like, I'm so tripping.
We got to have a Jordan Love conversation. I'm on the clock after this pick.
Are touching on Jordan Love. I'm buying all the Jordan Love stock, bro. As much of it as I can, I'm monopolizing the Jordan Love industry.
They snagged Dalton Kincaid already. That's okay.
There's still a really good tight end there that might be a reach because it's round five, but like probably shouldn't be.
Here's what we're gonna do. I'm gonna grab Zeus because, ladies and gentlemen, Zamir White.
Oh yeah. You're big on the guy.
Yeah, man, he's gonna find the end zone this year. And what this team, what I'm trying to do with the team too is, I got running back. We'll after these picks too, we'll have some time to talk Aaron Love, Jordan Love. That's funny. We'll have some time to talk Jordan Love, but I'm waiting one more round on quarterback.
Dude, let's like see. That's the thing with now, receivers,
there's good
man.
Quarterback options. I could take Burrow right here and feel really good about that being like an A spot. But since they already got Kincaid, who's projected for less than him. I'm going to grab who you were talking about in Kyle Pitts.
Because
I'm pretty confident that Kirk Cousins is going to distribute the ball this year.
Even if not, bro, I am a huge believer in Michael Penix. Like,
oh, I would love for Penix to get in there. Pretty much.
Like, either way.
I think that Drake London could be receiver one or two this year, hands down as well, because for one, Kirk Cousins isn't going to scramble. So he's not taking... He's not like he's going to have to pass or utilize, running backs. So I'm high on Bijan, high on Pitts, high on Drake London because he has to distribute the ball.
Right.
If anything, they're going from a quarterback who was sacked all the time, had no IQ, to somebody who knows how to get rid of the ball and find his guys. So that increases their opportunity a fair amount in Pitt's buying stock.
Hey man, give me Scary Terry. If Jaden Daniels is legit, give me Scary Terry.
I see the upside in Terry. I
don't feel confident in Amari Cooper. I don't know why. I don't know if I trust Deshaun Watson or not. I don't feel confident on Deontay Johnson either. Rashi Rice, I don't know. I don't know. Christian, I was looking at Christian Watson though. I do feel like if there's a year that like the breakout year for the receiver, I feel like he's up there because I believe in Jordan Love that much. But also, based on last year, like he was throwing it to Reed a lot.
No, so this is the Jordan Love talk because
let's get to it.
I still need to take a quarterback, and I'm right where I want to be, like at last resort, sort of in terms of where I'm getting a quarterback right now. But Jordan Love was pretty much a top 10 quarterback for the last half of the season, and what impresses me is that he's grown, like his decision making, his awareness, his poise has like developed. And he distributed it. 1 week it's the, you know, tight end week. 1 week it's the Christian Watson, two deep balls. 1 week it's is Jordan Reed like always open? Like, and he can use his legs. So I believe in the upside for Jordan Love. In my research for that back half of the season, though, here are the last five teams he played. The Giants, the Buccaneers, the Panthers, the Vikings, the Bears. That's how he ended the season. There's some games against KC and Detroit in there also where he went six touchdowns combined, zero interceptions, back-to-back weeks of like 23, 26.
Yeah.
So I think the kid figured it out a little bit, bro.
I also agree. He looked good he got better as the season went on. And I think like that always like sort of precedes like a really good follow-up year. I'll go Bean and Cheese Allen. Why not? I'm ready for him to blow a gasket in that cold Chicago weather.
I don't know and who that is.
Keenan Allen.
Keenan Allen.
I call him Bean and Cheese Allen because I feel like...
You said he's ready to blow a gasket up there?
Dude, it's not San Diego, man, or it's not L.A., man. Like, it's not warm there after, like, October. Like,
he doesn't have the ligaments.
You know what I mean? Like, it's a little... The joints take a little longer to fire up in the cold, you know what I mean? But okay, I don't know, dude. I feel like the Bears are gonna be kinda good. Question mark. But like
wow, he's still there. So I am not high on Chris Godwin whatsoever, but he's projected for more than like 12 or 15 than anybody else left. And as of now, he's going to my bench. Because my flex is filled, my receivers are filled. So it's like, if he actually is solid, it pans out. And I'll take the value there. That's a good depth piece, even though I wanted to go different with position.
Has Bo Nix looked good at all? Has Bo Nix been doing anything?
He did look very decent in his first preseason game.
Did he really?
I want to say he was like 12 for 15 or something like that. Like, he was a very high percentage. And he got like a touchdown.
That's so random.
So... Caleb Williams also looked good. So here's the thing. Oh, man. Jordan Love and Jaden Daniels are here at the same pick. And I'm not going to pick again for a minute. I wanted to get them both, but I took Godwin because he fell. So do I take Love, the sure thing, or do I take Daniels with the upside of being like a possibly really dangerous runner? I got to go safety. I got to get Jordan Love. He's not going to get hurt or interception me out the game.
There you go.
Want Daniels as well though because they're bro there's he might be like you know the margin or just the range of expectation for Jaden Daniels is really really wide.
Blood money, that's how I got this. I'm gonna put my faith in another Bean and Cheese peg leg. I'm gonna put my faith in peg leg Eckler.
You know what, bro? You got a good team. You got a good team coming together. Let's update the rosters real quick. This is round 8. Go ahead.
I got who am I working with? I got CJ at QB, Saquon and Kenneth Walker T. Higgins, Terry McLaurin, Travis Kelce, Keenan Allen. I got Austin Ekeler on the bench.
So you've got all the offensive spots filled. You got some options at flex, be it Keenan Allen or Ekeler or Terry, depending on the matchup.
Yeah.
And, you got the anchor. You got the Travis Kelce, you know, anchor.
The anchor.
You got Saquon and K9, you know what I mean?
K9, dude.
Kenneth Walker had him on rosters last year. This is a mad decent first eight.
I feel like everybody's team looks pretty solid, though. There's some, like, loaded teams, you know what I mean? Everybody's got names. Does.
But we're not – I think this is where the depth really, like, kicks in. Like, you kind of nail this part of the draft still.
Yeah. Rounds, like, 8 through 10.
Something happens.
Yeah.
Like, right now, so I've got Jordan Love with Derrick Henry and Isaiah Pacheco in the backfield, Cooper Kupp and Calvin Ridley at wideout. My tight end is Kyle Pitts with flex options of Zamir White or Chris Godwin so far. I would give the nod to Zamir White because I think that I would then have three clear-cut, you know, RB1s in the lineup next to, you know, Cooper Kupp and Calvin Ridley. I would say upside receivers. I went running back heavy, so, like, they're not in the top 15 or so yet. But Cooper Kupp, come on now. Let's not play with the boy.
Hey, I'm also telling you, I'm about to take wide receiver one in Buffalo right now.
About to take him. Good grab.
I believe
in Curtis Samuel this year as well.
He's in Buffalo. He is good. Pretty soon. He is good. He is good. I agree. He is good.
Preseason game. Everybody was out
also,
there.
Also, oh no, not to cut you off. I just noticed that Jerry Jeudy is in Cleveland. And do you remember when we were sharing the faith in Jerry Jeudy that tumultuous year of Russell Wilson in Denver, and it was like, bro.
My next two picks are going to be so automatic. Let's go. All right, which one do I go with first just to make sure I lock it down? I already got that one. Okay, so Jaden Daniels came all the way back to me. I'm getting them because one of my strategies for this year, and it works for both of these picks, I went Jaden, and I'm back on the clock, and I'm grabbing Brock Bowers.
It's a good pick.
So, this year, I'm down. Say I don't go get Josh Allen or, you know, Patrick just because of where they fall to. I'm not going to reach for them. I'm not going to be the first one to take one. I'm going to keep fleshing out the depth positions, the flexors. And I'm going to get a quarterback in that mid-tier in terms of, like, where they're being projected. And I'm just going to get another quarterback, like, that's in the same tier or close to him. And just week to week, all right, who am I giving the nod to? Like, I'll give myself the option of, like, one of these guys can be in the 20-plus range.
I'll take Goddard. You got Saquon in the backfield, revamped offensive line. That boy's about to eat. They got some people that actually want to throw the ball in that coaching's position now. So,
right. No, Goddard's eating. And that's the same thing that I did with tight end. I'm doing the same with tight end. If I don't, like you said, you got Kelce when you wanted him. And – just in case, I got to get another good tight end because you need a good tight end.
Yep. Without a doubt.
I gave myself the option of, all right, I got Pitts because I think that his floor is at least decent. At least decent. And his ceiling is top five, you know, at the position.
I agree.
And I went and got Brock, who I think is going to be the real deal. And if anything, I think he's going to be a safety net in this offense. There's no Hunter Renfrow. You got Michael
Hunter Renfrow, baby.
Michael Mayer is going to line up inside more at tight end. And, you know, Brock's just going to be there. He's going to be there all year long. He's going to be there.
He is going to be there. I agree with that. No way. New England has Antonio Gibson. Not Booby Gibson. Shout out to Booby Gibson, bro.
Yeah, dude. There's a lot of movement that I had to get familiar with. From the mocks, which is
so random.
I feel like I got a leg up. Because, Jeudy in Cleveland, for example, like, it could be decent. But, I mean, how many, you know, Cleveland's maybe one receiver.
Jeez, man. This is where it gets skinny here, man. It gets skinny here. I will go with Jacoby Myers because he was randomly kind of nice last year on occasion.
Kobe's a good pick. Good pick. He plays a great spot in the offense. Curtis Samuel. Here. I'm like, if they leave this guy up here. I guess I'm going to grab him. But here's what I also might do. No Kizer. Oh, they already.
I'm looking a little.
Pop Douglas, anyone?
Hey, shout out to DeMario.
I think he might have a good year on him.
Dude, hey, I'm telling you, Drake May's winning this job by like week four, bro. There's no way we're going to keep. But also, it depends. I don't know, man. I also don't know. Like, our offensive line is pretty shoddy. So I don't know if I want to see Drake May out there just get, you know, blindsided every fourth, every fourth play, you know? But he's good, dude. Right. May looks pretty solid. He could be the guy, dude.
I'm going to grab Darnell Mooney because he's another slot in this.
Shout out to Darnell Mooney.
Atlanta offense. And his ADP was higher than where I got him, so I'll take that. And
Romeo Doobs.
Right.
Scooby Dooby Doob.
Do I want to take this guy?
Shout out to Rashid Shaheed, man.
I'm going to go ahead.
Shout out to Rashid Shaheed. Shout out to Norris Cole.
He might be a receiver one.
Who? Shaheed?
Not, you know, if anything happens to Olave, he's receiver one.
Oh, yeah. You're not wrong there.
But then you're definitely not wrong there. Derek Carr is playing quarterback, so do what thou wilt with that information.
Who's the running back in Houston right now?
Joe Mixon.
Oh, wow. Oh, they lost Mixon? Wow. That's news to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a lot of movement. Wow. Like, this offseason, like, there were some there's some shakeups.
Houston added Stephon Diggs and Mixon to the pot. They still got Noah Brown and
And, like, Tank Dell.
And Tank Dell I'm targeting because he's on the same level as Nico Collins, if you ask me. And Nico's going in the first 2-3 rounds tops, and you can get Tank Dell in, like, round 6. And it's like, y'all are playing around. Like, Nico's nice, but he can only catch so many passes in this offense. Like, Tank Dell had such a dirty stretch last season, and I experienced the benefits of it to where it's like, you know, bro,
he went nuclear at times. It was like bizarre. It was like, dude, I had no clue who he was. I was not familiar with him whatsoever. Like, and he was just going crazy.
There's movement. You know, Zeke is back in Dallas as RB1.
That's great. That is crazy, honestly.
Like,
hey, he wasn't bad, dude. He wasn't bad last year. Yeah, he wasn't horrible. He wasn't great. He wasn't horrible.
Bob Douglas hanging around. I have to get him.
I did want to get Ramondre. I failed to do so.
You like Ramondre?
I do. I think Ramondre with an average offensive line does numbers. He's good, dude. He's good. He's like an every down back, but it's like he's like Marshawn Lynch without the full beast mode, in my opinion. It's like I can throw you a little screen and get you out in space, that like get a little chunk play there. I can just hand you the ball, get you some yardage there. Like, he's a good running back. He's like a fundamentally sound running back. And he blocks. And he blocks, which is doesn't do anything fantasy wise, but like, you know, as a Pats fan, it's like, let's go. I watched years of Sony Michel getting blown up on blocks, but you know what I mean? Like, James White knew how to block, bro.
Brandon Cooks could be in for a decent year in Dallas. It's like Dallas throws receivers out that like they don't even know like what the hierarchy is.
They are grabbing guys and just like, hey, let's go. Who am I going with here? I straight up don't even know. I legit don't know. I think it's going to auto pick for me. I'll go McLaughlin, I guess. I meant to click on Herbert.
Not a bad pick.
I'm not. I can't even pretend to know who that is. I'm not even going to lie to you.
Backup running back in Denver.
Okay.
Russell Wilson had like more success with him in the lineup versus whoever else was supposed to be ahead of him. I can't remember, but
hey, man, at the end of I'm going defense in this round. I'm not even joking. I'm going defense in this round. No, I was
gonna go defense last round, but they didn't take.
Dude, that's already, the thing.
They
like,
already took,
I
they already
like...
took Cleveland's. Cleveland's projected for like a monster gap over everybody.
Really,
140 versus 130 is like next.
That's crazy.
So I would send it on them, but I'm getting Baltimore two rounds later. So this is going to be, you know, high-end defense as well, and I'm back on the clock. Depth here, I guess I might pick up Brandon Cooks. I think that Khalil Herbert is going to mooch off of, yeah, I'm going to go Brandon Cooks.
I mean, DeAndre Swift isn't exactly like injury prone, you know?
Right. Yeah, and he's sort of they sort of feature him in a collection now. He hasn't proven himself to be every down, which he could this year. I'm a believer in Caleb. I'm a believer in, if you ask me, Caleb or Jaden Daniels right now,
I'm taking Caleb over Jaden Daniels.
I'm very sold on Caleb.
Oh, who just took Niners defense like that? Come on, gang. Come on, gang. Why are we doing all that? Why are we doing the most? And
Williams is a late round sleeper to have in mind. So we're almost at the end. We only got two more picks after you make this one.
I'm absolutely going with Brandon Aubrey again, without a doubt. He was absolute money for. He won me at least three games last year, and I won like maybe five. So like, I am going back to Brandon Aubrey.
The kid was money. He came out and like didn't miss like his first 20 field goals.
Dude, he was so. Like, he had draining. A game where he had like 250 yarders, like 350 yarders or something like that.
Like netting 48 yarders.
It's like easy money. It was like, bro, you could have kicked this from 10 yards back and it would have still been more than good.
By me taking that extra blow, all right, I'm going to still get a decent kicker. No, the kicker's about to fly off this round, actually.
Yeah, kickers are flying off the board for sure.
I was going to, so I've been taking it like Butker, like all day long. And just being like first or second to grab a kicker, like in round 14 or something, because at this point, I'm still, you know, picking from the depths anyway. So let me just lock up a top tier at the position.
Defense wise, what am I rocking with here? The Bills defense was eating last year, apparently.
Bills just lost Matt Milano.
Like Chiefs defense, sure they'll do.
No, bro, great pick. Actually, they didn't give them credit last year. Chiefs were not.
They were shootouts. Yeah, they were like pretty solid.
They were not in shootouts.
News to me. I don't. That's the thing, dude. Like, I feel like defense becomes one of those things, though, where it's like you're just sort of swapping them out, right? Like week in and week out. It's like more matchup based than anything. Like when the Cardinals didn't have, you know, Kyler last year, it was like, all right, whatever defense is playing Arizona, I'm picking. Like, you got a bit of a squad percolating over there. Jordan Love, Derrick Henry, Isaiah Pacheco, Kupp, Ridley, Pitts. I like that.
You know what I'm saying, man?
I like it.
Let me grab Khalil Herbert because he shouldn't be there still. I think they're going to feature.
No, Brown is questionable. What happened? He's cold, though. I'll take him. Take a flyer on Noah Brown.
Like that.
That's the thing, though. It's like I almost feel like with Houston, like, yes, all the receivers are talented, but now it's like almost the case of, like, are there too many cooks in the kitchen? Like, because everybody is so good, like, where's the fantasy value, right? And it's like it probably comes from the quarterback and the running back there. But at the same time, they could just be an insanely great offense. Like, they could just put up 40 on you every week, and it's like everybody's eating. Like,
they have no reason to, like, play it safe.
Yeah. 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 If I came away with this squad, I wouldn't be upset. I definitely wouldn't be upset.
Yeah. CJ, Saquon, Kenneth, T. Higgins. McLaurin.
See, that's the thing, dude. I don't have like a goat. Like, my receivers are like, they got nice names, but it's like, I feel like I just don't know. Like, I'm not confident in any of my receivers to actually like be the guy.
So,
but it's the same
thing. Let's line up all the receivers. Like, you can like see everybody across. So, okay, so Drake London and Devontae Adams is a nice stack with Tank Dell in the slot. That's a nice stack.
Next yeah, that's a crazy stack.
CD Lamb and Olave is pretty nice as well.
It's pretty cool.
With Waddle in the slot.
Waddle was kind of a bum last year, though. I'm not going to lie to you.
I'm kind of cool for sure. Let's see. Mike Evans, Tyreek Hill is kind of nasty. With James
Hill, Evans, Kittle, and Rashee Rice is kind of cool.
Puka and Pickens and Jackson Smith, Jigba is not.
Yeah.
It's all right. You know, they'll have their week. Nico and DK is like the same player, and then Devontae and the flex. That's decent high floor.
Devontae's nice, dude. I'm a big fan of Devontae Smith.
Let's see what the ratings are. I promised an A draft, and I might have got a B. They might have given me a B.
Does it give you a grade?
Oh, he didn't work. Oh, I butchered it. They gave me a C.
Where do you see the grade?
I can tell you what you got. You get an email from ESPN.
Oh. Can you see what I got?
They basically said, I think, and you also got a C.
I got a C as well.
They gave one A. About four or five Bs, and the rest of C. Who got the one A?
It's not bad.
The one A. Shout out to Josh's Supreme team. All right. He took care of business, apparently. His A roster, okay, was Lamar Jackson, Bijan Robinson, Ramondre Stevenson, Nico, DK, Devontae, with Joe.
Have a nasty squad.
Goku playing tight end. He's got Addison, Tajay Spears. He also has four quarterbacks, but Steelers defense, Jake Elliott. So, you know, oh man, I'm mad at that. I'm really mad at that because I've been nailing some of these mock drafts. But that was a real good simulation, I feel. People weren't, it wasn't a lot of bots. It was a lot of, if I had to enter the season with this roster, I'm cool. Super cool. Super cool.
That's the thing. It's so like everything. It's like every Sunday you watch how a perfectly constructed fantasy football team just like manages to implode somehow. You know what I mean? It's like, let's see what unique way they find to just like mess me up somehow. And it's like, it couldn't even be my own team's fault. Like I could put up the second most points that week. And the guy I'm playing had whatever, like some ridiculous anomaly performance go off. And you're like, well, I'm not going to pretend like I didn't see that coming because knowing my luck, that's just not happening.
Yeah, no. I support taking Saquon in the first round, 100%.
I think I did it last year. I didn't feel great about it last year, but this year I'm like, you know what? Like, they're definitely going to run some BS screen passes with him that are going to go for like 40 yards every time. Get the big guys moving up front, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you just save some hits on Jalen Hurts. Like,
yeah,
probably like, yeah, last season was cool and all, but like, I'm cool if I don't have
last season was less than ideal for the guy.
Like, all I did was take a lot of like unnecessary QB sneaks.
All I did was get abused, like for no reason
for first downs to keep the clock rolling.
Dude, such BS. They're going to be good this year, man. I really do believe that the Eagles are going to be really, really good this year.
It was alarming how they, like, fell apart last year. That's the only
It really was. It made no sense. Like, it just didn't make any sense. Like, how did that happen? Like, how did that happen?
Having Saquon Barkley probably changes that.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like, you know, I don't know who they're running back with. Oh, it was Swift. It was Swift and Flamau. That's actually kind of crazy.
The boys. It's an upgrade.
Whoa, they had that gauntlet last year, right? Is that what it was?
They've also got no Jason Kelce.
They do not have Jason Kelce, who is him in terms of just the offensive lineman.
The offensive line was insane.
Even without Kelce, it's still insane, bro. Like, they still got, like, literally everybody. Like, they have every other, like, great offensive lineman, except for, like, Trent Brown or whatever.
Any five can, like, perform that well again, like, back-to-back seasons. Like, they were insane. That play was literally unstoppable because their line generated a push no matter what. Like,
no matter what. Dude, I mean, their line generated such a push that, like, they could literally just push their way into the end zone every time.
Like, if it was third and two, they're going to get it.
Yeah, it's third and two, and they're getting four. Like,
that was such a cheese era.
Is it really?
I can't. No, you can't be. You can't be too mad at it. Folks were mad last year, though.
I feel like they were, and it's like I don't really understand why, like, you would be upset with something like that. Like,
yeah, don't hate the player, hate the game.
They're just bigger than you, and like, I don't know what. Like, can you not just go get your guys in the weight room, or can you not just, like, I don't know, like, also do the same thing? In theory, like, can't you just do the same thing?
Yeah, we're not using an illegal formation. Like, we're not.
That's what I'm saying.
Now, the boys are back over there this year.
I think it's always weird because no matter what, like, mock draft you do, like, the people you end up drafting with, it's how you handle it when draft goes left, right? And, like, when all of a sudden, like, whoa, this guy just took Lamar Jackson in the third round, like, now all of a sudden the quarterbacks are flying off the board and it throws everything, like, you know, it throws the whole strategy in a wrench. You got to be adaptable. You got to be adaptable in those situations.
Yeah, no. The great Bill Belichick is not a great drafter. But, like, you also have to be, like, the fantasy coach. Who are you starting? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's a question.
Yeah.
What's the thought process? Who are you making sure you get on waivers? Like, definitely got to make a trade this year. I'm making a trade this year, bro.
Are you? Or, like, have you? Is that what you're saying?
I'm just saying, like, I'm going to try.
You got to make trades. I feel like
these boys up this year, man.
You got to make trades this year. I feel like, I think in general, not making trades in fantasy is kind of dumb unless your team is obviously just like, you know, but like, if you're like an average team, like, why not, dude? Like, literally, why not? Like, I made a trade that saved the season 1 year. Like, I feel like
keep being average.
But then I also made a trade that ended up effectively like cooking me last year, where it was like I gave up Jordan Addison for T. Higgins, and T. Higgins had like three great games and then got hurt, and that was it. And that was like my playoff push. I won those three games and I was like right there, neck and neck for that fourth spot, and T. Higgins goes down and that's it. Like, but hey, man. You don't win rings without making trades at the end of the day.
I think the worst was when I agreed to a trade on like a Friday or Saturday night. I want to say it was for Elijah Mitchell. like the first year he blew off.
Yeah.
And they're playing Monday night football. Sunday night. And he just blows his leg out. as the trade is in like.
Lovely.
Pending. Territory, like, already accepted, nobody vetoed, and I'm like, are y'all gonna let this happen to me?
Yeah,
they were like, yeah. It's like,
it happens, dude. I don't get that. Well, so we do it in our league for with my friends from back home. We don't have a veto anymore. Like, if the trade goes through, the trade just goes through, like, unless it's like completely sort of, you know, but like, if the trade is agreed upon, the trade goes through, you know.
Yeah, shame on you. You gotta act quicker than that.
That's what I'm saying. At the end of the day, like, either you trade or you don't. But like, if you're not trading, then sit down and let other people trade. Like, what's it to you? If you already didn't want to trade, then why are you so mad? Like, then don't trade. Like, nobody's telling you to trade.
Why are you really like blocking me right now?
Yeah, like, what are you pressed about? Like, what are you pressed about? Seriously.
Is this your team? Like, you're that worried about me picking up David Montgomery.
Like, bro, like, you know, like, it's like I traded for like Alan Lazard and like Zach Charbonnet. Like, why are you, what is so, why did you trade for him if you believe in him so much?
I'm gonna let you rock, bro. That was
for sure, dude.
That was just a dip, you know, dip in the foot. I actually have drafts this, I have a draft this weekend. I have a draft on
Sunday. Oh, really? You got a draft on Sunday? I think we're looking at our friend league from back home. I think we're doing it on the 3rd or the 4th or something like that.
Nah, it begins, dude.
It does begin. I don't feel very football-ish right now. I think it'll start when college football sort of just heats up a little bit. Because then it's like, oh, let me tap into the Baylor game. Oh, wait, LSU's playing who week one? Like, let me watch that. Like, you know what I mean? So.
It's college season.
Dude. College football, baby. The realignment. It's different.
It's definitely going to be something to watch this year. I think it's an 8 or a 12 team tournament too. So.
It's full. Oh yeah, I forgot about that. Actually, you're so right. Hey man, don't be surprised when the boys in green and gold find their way. They're gonna find their way, and then reality will probably hit when they get smoked by like a
serious matchup early in the season.
Yeah, like, you know, they run into like Alabama or something. Well, no Saban anymore in Alabama, right? Like, that's also like a thing.
Got to have the warm up game against Tarleton State. Got to have the tune up game. Oh, bro, they got a schedule.
They do have a schedule.
Well, the Big 12 is different now, so I guess it is. Utah's in conference, but they got Utah week two.
And they got Colorado. Don't they have Colorado this year too?
Colorado week four.
They're in Colorado, I believe. They're in a
Boulder.
Yeah, they're going to Boulder.
Deion,
I will say next year we have them at home, and I'm for sure going to that game, bro, without a doubt.
Will Deion be there or not? Stay tuned.
Will Deion be there or not, dude? I dare Shadur to hold up that AP in the end zone of McLean.
Don't do that down in Waco.
You don't know the Baylor line, buddy.
What a squad. That's a kicker if I ever heard it, man. Shout out to 2015.
Shout out to 2015. Alright.
Salute. Peace. Till next time.
Till next time.